Join you on Twitch Rocks. The flute of life. Shrom.
Please welcome your host for tonight. Because it takes a dick to know a dick. It's Dickie Herring.
Thanks for coming to see my talking cock. I do want to allay any fears you might have right at the start. This isn't a ventriloquist act. And I won't be getting my cock out during the show. Well, not unless things are going really badly. Or extremely well. Basically, this is a male version of the vagina monologues. I saw a gap in the market, and I couldn't resist the male urge to fill it. I do have to apologise. The show changes a bit every day. I will be reading some of the stuff off these bits of card. But I went to see the vagina monologues the other week. They're still reading off bits of card after 7 years. Lazy lesbians. So what is this thing? It's a source of shame and pride. It can inspire laughter and fear. It's a symbol of power, yet it's incredibly fragile and weak. It can be a pound of flesh or an ounce of winkles. It can be used to express both love and hate. It can create life. It can condemn us to death. And it can do wheeze as well. How can one tiny, ridiculous, wrinkly flap of skin and sinew be all these things? Well, tonight we're going to find out all about men and their porridge guns, as well as answering such questions as, is size important? And if not, why are there no 2-inch pencil thin vibrators? We'll be asking, do men think with their dicks? Do men really have 2 brains in their body? And only enough blood to operate any one at a time? Or do we in fact have no brains and a surplus of blood just looking for something to do? We'll be asking, how can men cope when getting harder is getting harder? Because when you're 18, you're probably pointing at the ceiling. By the time you're in your mid-30s, you're pointing at the picture of your gran on the mantelpiece. So some of my friends have told me. We'll be asking, why is John Wayne Bobbitt being dismembered and having his penis thrown into a field regarded as a humorous event? If a man did anything remotely similar to a woman, he'd quite rightly be condemned as evil. So why is that funny when it happens to a man? And are all men really lazy, arrogant, sexually self-serving, responsibility-shirking, promiscuous adolescents? Or are some of us actually not all that lazy? I found out some amazing facts about the honourable member for Fuckinghamshire. For example, do you know, mate, if I were to slice open one of your testicles, stretch out all the tubules inside into one long continuous line, it wouldn't be long before I was committed to the high security of the hospital for the criminally insane, as Jeffrey Dahmer, the Milwaukee cannibal, found out through his cuffs. There he is, that's all he was trying to find out, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know, girls, the best way to determine the length of a man's penis is to get him to show it to you? And then measure it with a ruler. In my experience, I've found it's best to get his permission before you try that. And did you know that according to the Guinness Book of Records, the man with the biggest cock in the world is Bill Wilson from Vancouver. Amazingly, it's over twice the size of the next biggest cock. Now, Hull City Council have actually unbelievably banned me from showing you a photograph of that. But they're not in tonight. Do you want to see it anyway? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, look. There it is. Oh! Unbelievable! Oh. It was that kind of cock all along. My expectations were subverted. But Wilson also, as coincidentally, has an enormous penis. There he is. No pun this time, that's just a picture of a big... Is it also like that, mate? Oh dear. Everyone else's is. I set up this website, www.talkingcock.com. Dickmoney.co.uk. There's two anonymous questionnaires on there, all about the spam javelin. There's one for men, one for women. If you haven't done so already, go and fill that in. The show changes a bit every day, as I say, so one of your answers may be in a future show on a book I'm writing. 5,000 people all around the world have already filled that in. It's been amazing. For example, I asked men, have you ever tried to suck your own... 69% admitted that they had, which is a slightly ironic figure when you think about it, isn't it? Should be that exact number. Just slightly nearer, so. Of that 69%, 18% could actually do it. Fantastic. It's about 50-50 on the spit or swallow your own semen issue. You know, I think that's saying something if you're not prepared to swallow your own in the stream. It's a bit much expecting anyone else to do it for you, isn't it? I mean, what's your problem? You've already sucked your own cock. But to swallow your own semen, oh, no. No, that would be strange. Can you begin to imagine what hell it's been for me researching this show? I'm a man. I try not to think about my own cock, let alone anyone else's. Now I spend all day thinking about cocks, talking about cocks, reading about cocks, talking to men about their cocks. It's driving me insane. I mean, we should have done a show about really big tits instead. Just noticed, fellas, I was just reasserting my masculinity there. Because to a man, even thinking about your cock is unmanly. We can't admit that we're embarrassed or ashamed about our genitalia. But you're embarrassed, mate, aren't you? You're ashamed, aren't you? Mm. Yeah, you should be. I saw you in the toilet before the show. You should see a doctor, really, mate. Or possibly the proprietor of a modern-day freak show. That's not your advantage. We can't admit that we're anxious about the size or shape of our genitalia, worried about our sexual performance, concerned that we might not be able to get an erection. Because being a man is all about having a cock the size of a baby's arm that can get erect at the drop of a hat. When I was a teenager, that wasn't a problem. If someone dropped a hat, I'd be erect instantaneously. Occasionally, just a hat on its own would be enough. Maybe precariously perched on the edge of a table. Yeah. Could go any minute, the anticipation was half of it. Occasionally, hats didn't even have to be involved. That's how easy it was. Now I'm 35, I need hundreds of hats. Each more depraved and disgusting than the other. Those hats have to be dropped from increasingly high heights. I'm telling you, Sherpas, that man Everest, they're chucking the hats off. Even then, I'm only getting a semi. It wasn't always this way. In pre-Christian times, the penis was revered for its potency. The Sumerian civilization, one of the first civilizations, they had a god called Enki, who was worshipped primarily for his amazing cock. Seriously, this is the Sumerian hymn. And Father Enki stood up full of lust like an attacking bull, lifted his penis, ejaculated, filled the Euphrates with flowing water. That's what I call a hymn. Yeah? He shits all over all things bright and beautiful, doesn't he? He fills rivers with his issue. Amazing. Yeah, I'm not sure I want to drink from the Euphrates. Now I know that. I used to drink from it all the time. It was the only water I'd ever drink, Euphrates water. I had it shipped over. I was a vain man in many ways. But Enki's penis in Sumerian legend goes on to dig irrigation ditches. Oh, yeah. It invents human sexual reproduction, which we have to be grateful for. And it fathers the first human baby, after which he exalts, "Let now my penis be praised." Now that is the kind of God I want to worship. Fantastic. The churches would be full every Sunday, wouldn't they? Don't worship me, worship this. He can dig irrigation ditches for another birth. In the shape of swear words. It's brilliant. To the Romans, the erect penis, far from being indecent, was painted on the walls of their villas without so much as a PG certificate. This particular one's from Pompeii. Around there it says, "Hic habitat felicitas." Here lives happiness. Fantastic, yeah. And remember, you can't spell happiness without penis. It's a good joke, fuck off and write your own show. And of course, the Cernavis giant there, 60 metres high on the Dorset hillside. speaks of a more liberal England of yesteryear. A bloke proudly saying, look at my massive cock, and if you don't, I'm going to twat you with this cock. They saw the penis as a thing of joy, not a source of male shame. So what's responsible for this change in the penis's standing? Who's to blame, guys? Because it can't be men's fault, can it? So whose fault is it, eh? I'm trying to incite you into an outburst of misogyny. Anyone going to help me out? Whose fault is it, fellas? Anyone? Women? I was going to say the church, but yeah, maybe not. Well, I think that maybe the reason that women mock and denigrate our genitalia, guys, is because they're jealous of us for having cocks, because they haven't got one, and they're jealous. That's it, isn't it, girls? You feel inferior to us because you haven't got a penis. You envy us. Well, that was certainly the philosophy of insane Austrian pervert Sigmund Freud. He theorised that women were jealous of him and his amazing cock. And that's why none of them would go out with him. They were jealous, you see. But was he right? I asked women on the website, do you envy men for having a penis? And amazingly, nearly 20% of women said that they did. One in five, and it's amazingly high. Until you look at the actual reasons they gave for doing that, to be fair, which can be really summed up by two major answers. One is, although I don't want a penis, I am curious to know what it would feel like to penetrate someone. Or somebody puts that a bit more crudely, because I'd love to bugger someone up the arse. Muhaha. So, essentially, that one's revenge, reason why he's getting us back for crimes you might have committed whilst slightly drunk, as an excuse. But by far, the vast majority of women said something very similar to this, the second reason. I have enough problems with my breast dangling all over the place without having another dangling thing. But I do sometimes envy men for having a penis because it means they can piss standing up and so don't have to queue for the toilet. All right, girls here? Yeah? That's about it, guys, I'm afraid. That's the extent of it. That's as far as the envy goes. So much for Freud, the mental twat. The reason men feel about themselves and their genitalia has got nothing to do with women like you think, Hitler. And I don't want to turn this show into a competition. I'm not trying to say that men are now more oppressed than women. Clearly they're not. I'm not trying to say that the penis is better than the vagina. Because if I'm honest with you, I prefer the vagina. Oh yeah, I think it's great, honestly. I would go as far to say that the vagina is my all-time third favourite bodily orifice. Yeah. Top three girls, not bad, keep trying. But this is a show for men and women because the penis is of significance to everyone. Well, apart from lesbians and nuns. But that's all right, because lesbians and nuns are of particular significance to it. Yeah, fellas? Yeah. Especially lesbian nuns, am I right? Yeah. And the thing is, even lesbian nuns wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a penis. So suck on that, you lesbian nuns! Yeah, strange blend of sapphic Catholicism. Are you thinking those two things don't go together? What would Jesus say if he could see what you were doing? Probably not. Looks like I arrived just in time. Well, it's a good job I've got a second coming. We all owe our existence, apart from that little Raelian space baby who's been cloned recently, we all owe our existence in part to a penis. Every single person in this room began their life by shooting out the end of a cock, which might not sound like something to be proud of, but it is. You are all one of up to 600 million sperm in that single ejaculation that made it to the egg first. Just think of the odds of you even being here. It's incredible. You can add to that all the sperm that don't even make it, all the sperm that end up in condom or handkerchiefs, yeah? Or mouths. Or worse, spat out of mouths. still spat out of a man's own mouth. The indignity of it. All the sperm that get wasted, flying over breasts, chests, buttocks and faces. No, personally I hate to think of those sperm as a waste. I see them as kind of suicide bomber sperm. Their sacrifice will never be forgotten. But ironically, the memory of their sacrifice will be used at a later date. To send even more sperm to an equally meaningless death. What we're doing there, fellas, we're satirising the whole Middle Eastern situation. Keep that up, boys. One day those guys will learn. But none of that happened to us. We all shot out at the end of a cock, and we lived to tell the tale. We won the cock lottery. We should be proud of ourselves and proud of the cocks that produced us. Now, we've all just subconsciously thought about our father's our father's spunking cocks. Not something you do very often, is it? When you're sitting next to him. But, well, why not? We should be giving thanks to our father's spunky cocks. They created us. They gave us life. They did an amazing godlike thing. Let now their penises be praised. The penis is ace. But you know, it wasn't until I started researching the show that I realised what variety there was in its appearance. I'd always assumed that all men's penises were pretty much exactly the same as mine. Only smaller. I asked women, describe the most unusual penis you've ever seen. These are some of the answers. Very thin. Looked like one of those long rubber biros. Very little. She doesn't say if there was a character in the Munch Bunch sat on there. A very, very small penis that belonged to a Dutchman. Sounds like maybe you just kept that in a box, doesn't it? Got a little penis, you want to see it? Yeah. The was tiny. It was fairly normal in size, but the end seemed to have a twist in it, so the eye hole was kind of on the side instead of the top. Made me laugh. But I sucked it anyway. I described him as Mr. Walnut Whip in size and shape, but sadly no. It was the shape of an upside down banana. What I want to know is, what's the right way up for a banana? Can't visualise. This next one, I wish as this penis is the best one of the bunch. My exes had a huge vein in the shape of a question mark. Until I saw some kind of pornographic Batman villain. Piddler, perhaps, I don't know. It was tiny, looked like a baby hamster before they get their foot. That one's that one's cruel. It had two holes in the end, and he called his penis the double barrel shot. It was 4 inches long and bent like a hook. Looked like a golf ball on a stick. A guy with two penises. That is actually scientifically possible. It happens to 1 in 100,000 boys. It's called being diphylactic, or extremely lucky. My favourite answer to the question, describe the most unusual penis you've ever seen, has got to be, I've never seen a usual penis. I think that's the correct answer. It seems to me that no two penises are the same, even if they're both on the same bloke. We should be celebrating that diversity, not expecting everyone to conform to some kind of fascistic penile template. I've never seen a usual penis. Remember that. It's an important thing to remember. Now, look, I asked men on the website, have you ever faked an orgasm? What do you think, girls? Think men ever faked an orgasm? Yes, oh yes, they have to with me. I just can't do it. Let's have a look. 32% of men admit to having faked an orgasm. One in three men. I thought, that's astonishing. Because the stereotype of men is that a gentle breeze can make us come. Why would we have to? I mean, some people don't think it's possible. Obviously, it is quite difficult mechanically to do that. Though one bloke did tell me of his friend. He was having sex with a lady from behind. It was going on for a long time. He knew he wasn't going to come. So he withdrew. And then to simulate orgasm, he spat on her back. mandatory. Anything to save a lady's feelings. I asked men, do you have trouble urinating in the company of other men? Any blokes suffer from that up here in Hull?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good to admit that. Well, there's one bloke to admit it. 33% of men, nearly again, one in three men say they have that problem on the website. It's called having a shy bladder. You can't go next to someone else, it means you have to go into the cubicle. So you see, girls, just having a penis doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to queue for the toilet. I used to suffer from this as well. I found a way around it. A doctor friend, it's a completely psychological thing. A doctor friend told me of a displacement exercise to get around this. You have to kind of trick your brain. What he suggested is next time, fellas, you're shoulder to shoulder with a bloke at the urinals, you can't go, you're too embarrassed. What you have to do is you have to imagine, and you have to visualise, that you are urinating through his penis. It's quite important you just imagine this, okay? Don't stare down at him to help him. For God's sake, don't hold on to it. If you imagine it, it's such a weird thought. It works. It's so weird. And you go, oh, and then you can go. And it kind of works. It's also quite important if you're going to try this that you don't get sexually aroused by the idea of urinating through someone else's penis. You might notice. You might be a bit affronted. You never know. You might be flattered. You might end up heading for that cubicle after all. But maybe Freud was right about a few things. Maybe men's attitude to their yoghurt-spitting pythons develops in childhood. Personally, luckily, I had a very happy childhood. One of my earliest memories, though, is having baths with my dad. I used to love having baths with him, which is weird, because I'd just find it embarrassing if we were to do it now. You know, back then, I couldn't get over how big he was. He was like a sea serpent, bobbing in the waves, like a cockness monster. I said to him, "Why are you so big and I'm so small?" He said, "Because I am better than you." I said, "Well, will I be as big as that one day?" He said, "No." "No, you'll always be tiny." He was right. I remember having weeing contests at school. Do you other guys remember this? A whole row of boys would line up so you could wee the highest up the urinal wall. There were no shy bladders back then, were there, fellas? Which is quite interesting. It's amazing, though, girls. I tell you, my, how high we wee. Sometimes right over the top of the urinal wall, wasn't it? This must have been a delight for anyone passing on the other side. It's weird, though. I can't do that anymore. Partly, I think, as you get older, that, I don't know, the water pressure must change or something. I don't know. I can hardly hit the top of the urinal. Partly because if I go into the school toilet and challenge small boys to wee, it can lead to misunderstanding. The police become, in the current situation, the climate isn't right at the moment for that kind of behaviour. Matthew Kelly, R. Kelly, God, Lorraine Kelly must be shitting us. Here's some other men's memories of childhood. I used to hide Lego bricks in my foreskin. He doesn't say if that was for pleasure or security. It's like your little sister playing with them, wouldn't it? I remember playing it like a guitar and dancing. I used to do that, I've forgotten. You used to stretch it out and be like, hey, you used to stretch for miles. Or maybe it's just because we were smaller that it seemed bigger. Like wagon wheels, you know. I remember shutting the toilet seat on it when I was five. On purpose. The young Marquis de Sade then. I remember thinking, if God created me with a penis, what was so dirty about it? Why must it be shielded from view? Good point, huh? My mother threatened to cut it off repeatedly in a joking way, prompting raucous laughter from both herself and my sister. And presumably years in therapy for him. As for the bloke who said, my father told me it would fall off if I kept touching it. What brilliant parenting skills that was. No wonder we're all growing up so mental. I remember finding out how babies were made and thinking, wow, my penis is powerful. That's right, now our penises be praised. I remember being about nine, watching Walking Wise on TV with my brother and sister wearing my pyjamas. Suzanne Danielle was the guest on that week show. She was wearing a very short skirt and fishnet stockings. And I got an erection which shot up through the fly. I remember my brother and sister and me all really laughing. Especially when I commented, "Get down, Shep." But a lot of guys have emailed me about circumcision. Now, I had no idea before I started the show. This is possibly one of the most contentious issues there is in the world today, whether you should be circumcised or not. Some men are furious it was done. To others, it's the best thing that's ever happened to them in their lives. Literally the best thing. After day 8, it's all been downhill from there. But in America, there are big pressure groups set up, pro and anti. Go and look it up on the internet, you won't believe it. They've been emailing me, telling me all the facts I have to tell you. To be honest, I don't think it's that important. It's a little bit of skin. It doesn't really make much difference if you've got it or not. I'm not going to get drawn into the argument. I'm not going to come down on either side here. Although I'd have to say that cutting off part of the genitals of an infant seems a slightly bizarre practice to me. But I guess it is just a matter of personal choice, though not one that the person involved generally has any say. There, I think I've sat on the fence over that one. I think if you—it's not important, really. I think if you are though a parent, you're thinking of circumcising a child. I think you have to think very carefully before you do. I think you have to consider. You have to ask yourself: if I do go ahead and circumcise him, where on earth is he going to hide his Lego bricks? Important consideration. But in America, until recently, all boys were circumcised, regardless of religion. It's often argued this is due to hygiene reasons. A penis without a foreskin is easier to clean. I ask you, how hard is it really to clean a penis with a foreskin? Quite hard, judging by a lot of the comments I've had from women about oral sex. Come on, fellas. If you learn one thing from this show, just keep your penis. Clean your penis once a day. There's already one fish trail in Hull. Okay. In America, because of this, in America, the circumcised penis, because all boys are circumcised, it's almost like a badge of American identity. A lot of American women asked to describe an unusual penis, say an uncircumcised one that is ugly, because they never see it, so it's unusual to them. It explains a quite sad story I got from a middle-aged American guy who, ironically, actually had been circumcised, though his penis still had the appearance of an uncircumcised penis. It might not sound that big a deal, but because he was different from all the other boys, he spent a lot of his whole life feeling that he was defective. This is just a tiny part of his story. When I was 8, we moved to Taiwan for almost a year. I was quite pleased to see that all the Chinese boys looked like me. Despite the fact that I'm of Northern European descent, my logic told me that since my parents could speak a little Chinese, and I had a Chinese penis, then obviously I was a little bit Chinese. Maybe I wasn't a very bright 8-year-old, but the point is that much of my identity was defined through the appearance of my penis. For a while, I didn't feel as defective as before. I think that's probably an extreme case, but I think all men, to some extent, define themselves through the appearance of their penis, and any differentiation from a supposed norm is seen as a bad and shameful thing. Of course, the irony in this case is the blokes had been circumcised in any case, but also his penis just looked like a penis is meant to look naturally. He said, "I wish my parents had had the sense to send me to someone who could explain my anatomy to me. It could have saved me 30 years of worry and frustration." But I guess it's when we reach adolescence that we turn from naughty little boys into unpleasant little men. Largely due to the discovery of masturbation. Yes, the ultimate celebration of the penis, one that I wholeheartedly endorse. Though, if you could wait till you get home, it would be appreciated. But learning to love yourself, it's the greatest love of all. I asked men, how many times a week do you masturbate? The maximum top answer came out at 322. Which sounds like a lie, doesn't it? But it's a suspiciously precise thing. The minimum answer came out at 0. I can only presume that man's cock has fallen off at some point. Maybe that was the week after the 300. The average came out, very, again, interestingly, in exactly 6. Exactly. Well, even God needed a day off. Though I do have to warn any wankers in the audience that according to some Eastern religions, masturbation is a form of psychic rape because you're having sex with someone in your imagination without their permission. So if that bothers you, next time you are planning on using someone in your onanistic fantasies, do make sure you ring them up first. Just get their consent. Hi there, yeah, it's Ian from accounts here. Yeah. No, you don't know me. I've just seen you in the canteen. Look, I was a bit bored at work. I was thinking about having a wank. I was planning on imagining coming on your face. Would that be okay? Well, okay, calm down. All right. Well, fair enough. If you prefer the tits, who am I to ask? But I think for most men, Madame Palm and her five daughters, they're never quite enough, are they? We're on a constant search for something more satisfying. I ask men, where have you put your penis for fun? You know, I really wish I hadn't asked that. For the benefit of hindsight. This is true, the very first person to respond to this question, number one said, in a vagina. Where else is there? Oh, if you could only read the 3,500 answers directly followed here on his computer, my computer, might give some answers to his question. Here are just a selected few of them. In a shampoo bottle. In a milk bottle. In a glass of wine. I believe that's known in the trade as a cock-o-back. Raw steak. Jelly spooned into a toilet. You, what delights me about that answer is that the jelly's very specifically spooned in. You can't pour it in just before it sets, that wouldn't work. No, you can't scoop it in with your hands. You wouldn't want to get jelly all over your fingers, would you? That would be disgusting. No, you have to spoon it in. The more I do this show, I'm getting a very clear mental image of the bloke doing that. He's crouching down, there's a look of anticipation. I've already been waiting quite a while for that jelly to set. I'm wondering what colour jelly it is. Maybe you've gone for green, or more realistic, red. I don't know. sorry, that's a new bit. In a Hoover, between the mattress and the metal frame of the bed, comes up an astonishing amount, that one, I can't tell you. Through a hole in the fence, lovely. Everybody needs good neighbours, after all. On ice cubes, dangerous. Various teddy bears as a child. Various ones, not all of them. Some of them I didn't fancy, you know. I don't want to get away thinking of a teddy bear whore. Loo rolls, not very good. Well, of course not. You've got to fill them with jelly, haven't you? With a spoon. I'll stop you. You've contaminated that jelly with your hands. Oh, so I'm going to have to wait for it to set all over again. In the top of a novelty-shaped bubble bath, it was shaped like the children's character. Was it that additional information? Some excuses, he's saying. He was looking at me with his big eyes, his bell. What normal man can do? It makes it worse than he said, not he's a little boy. If it had been big ears, fair enough. Perhaps that's how big ears ended up with those big ears. In my fella's mouth, hand, arse, and even once or twice in a... Oh, God, I can't say. Vagina. In the back of a folding metal chair. Dangerous, but not as dangerous as inside a car exhaust pipe. In a child's buoyancy aid. That's an armband. I'm just hoping to God there wasn't a child in there. In a hollowed out cucumber. What kind of a world is it we live in where a man deliberately hollows out a cucumber? The strongest of vegetables, even when it's got its filling inside it, in order to make what I can only presume is gentle love to it. A sick world is the answer to that question. Everywhere I can think of without hurting it, which I think he means his penis rather than the receptacle, I wonder if he would therefore choose to put his cock in a food mixer. Or might that be too dangerous? I don't know. In a blow up doll, fuck pocket vagina, my hand, a snowball, my beagle licked it when I was. In the bottom of a Vosine bottle, neatly cut off and moulded over the kitchen stove with a little soap balloon. It's not one of his chants across that one, is it? Years of experimentation there, leading to what I'm guessing is possibly the perfect synthesis of the vagina. If that information gets out, girls, you could become obsolete. Buy some shares in Vosine, you'll be sitting pretty there. And perhaps most worrying for me, rubbed against my computer screen whilst filling in this questionnaire. I could go on. There are thousands more. And they're worse than those ones. But I'm going to spare you the terrible details of what I've had to endure, the psychological scars of what I've read. I've stared into the abyss, knowing that someone somewhere has probably tried to put their cock into it. So I asked men, what's your sexuality? I was just interested to see how that broke down. About 17-18% of men said that they were gay. A further 1 in 10 men are playing for whichever team is winning at the time. 70% of men, 71%, straight down the line, completely straight, completely heterosexual, never had a gay thought, never had a gay bone in their bodies, quite literally. Because I think to most straight men, the idea of even being perceived as being gay, even mistaken for being gay, is one of the worst things imaginable, because it somehow brings our masculinity into question, which would be terrible. Despite the fact that 69% of you have attempted to suck your own cock, and 170% about an hour a day playing with your own erect penis, to share those things with someone else, that would be weird, wouldn't it? And unmasculine, you wouldn't want to admit that. I may be wrong, girls, I think most of your boyfriends at some point have tried to persuade you to have anal sex. Do you recognise this phrase? Oh, can we just give it a go? It's my birthday. Go on, just a tip. But to try these things with a man, no, that would be unnatural. Rather than heterosexual anal sex, as nature intended. Pathetic, really. Heterosexual men's ideas about homosexuality. I think it's pathetic. The reason we feel so worried and scared about this isn't masculine. It's because we know, in our hearts, all men know, there's a part of us that's gay. There's a part of us that's at least curious about what's going on. There's a part of us that's probably experimented. We don't want to admit that. And I think it's pathetic. I think it's sad. I think straight men, in this case, just pathetically sad. I mean, I had a taxi driver the other day. Well, I didn't have him. I'm not gay. I was in a taxi. The taxi driver said to me, "That's George Michaels. All that money, and he still chooses to put his cock in a man's hairy ass." As if George Michael's sexuality was somehow a financial issue. Before he was famous, he was in his bedsit, all poor, going, "Oh, God, this is horrible. Oh, I can stop doing this for fun." But it's what interests me about the statement is the arses in that anecdote. They're very specifically hairy. The taxi driver's really thought this scenario through in quite some detail. He thought, well, having sex with a bloke probably be all right. Wouldn't it be the same? It'd be no different. What, anal sex with a man? The same. Oh, no, hold on. The hair there. Well, I might like that. Might make it better. No, probably won't be worse. It might be better. Maybe if I was rich, I could afford to buy a razor. I have to say, I envy gay men for their sense of identity. After years of being judged and literally condemned for their sexuality, they've reached a point where they know who they are and what they want. They don't give a fuck about what anyone else thinks about them. I think they've got a pride that's lacking in most straight men at the moment. Self-respect, self-belief, self-awareness. Surely these are the things that truly define masculinity, regardless of whether we put our cock in a woman or in a man or in a noddy-shaped novelty bubble bar, as long as you've got your self-respect. Well, in terms of this show, gay and bisexual men are cock heroes. This show is all about celebrating the penis. Gay men, not content with celebrating your own cocks, you want to celebrate everyone else's as well. I salute you guys for your commitment to this cause. Every struggle needs extremists. But, you know, I've been thinking a bit about that hollowed-out cucumber, and I suppose the good thing about having sex with a hollowed-out cucumber is it's not going to get upset, is it, if it fails to arouse you? Because it's aware, it's of a different genus to you. You're not supposed to find it attractive. Oh, for sure, the cucumber's adventurous, it'll give it a go. You know, it's got no problems with that. Say, "Oh, yeah, well, you want to hollow me out and have sex with me? Go on, yeah, give it a try. Let's see what happens." But if nothing comes up, they're going to go, "Well, I'm not really surprised. I'm a cucumber. You're a human being, vegetable, animal. It's not meant to be. Our love is not meant to happen. Let's just go back to using me in salads." We both enjoyed that. But unfortunately, the same isn't always true of human partners. I ask women, "How do you feel when a man can't get an erection with you?" Some women blame themselves. "I feel I must be fat." Some blame the men. I think he must be gay. That's the only explanation what he was doing naked in my bedroom in the first place. God only knows. Some are more practical about it. I'm a neuropsychologist, so I know the plethora of reasons why this can happen. But you can hardly say, don't worry, darling, this is simply a result of the fact that your peripheral nervous system isn't functioning correctly. Now, get down there and lick my mint. Some women are less sympathetic about it, such as the woman who simply wrote this. Thanks a lot. Yeah. You know, that's really helpful. I think for most men, the failure to execute the naughty Nazi salute is stressful because it somehow brings our oh-so-important masculinity into question again. We feel we're alone, we're the only persons this is happening to. It questions our masculinity. But I ask men, have you ever been unable to get an erection whilst with a partner? 48% of men admit that they have, nearly one in two. And the other 52% of men are fucking liars. It's interesting that everyone accepts that alcohol is a cause of what doctors refer to as marshmallow penis. Well, obviously when they're just off duty, you know, relax, you're in a mate. People don't seem to be aware of the thousands of equally valid reasons. There really are loads of reasons. It can be overwork, stress, drugs can cause it, both illegal ones and prescribed ones. One bloke said, I was on Prozac, which can cause erectile dysfunction. I thought the stuff was supposed to cheer you up. Simple overuse could be the problem. I couldn't get it up. But then I had already masturbated 300 which might be something to do with it. An inappropriate situation can cause it. She didn't mind. I felt stupid. But I was driving, so I was probably for the best. Even thinking about it too much can cause you to lose your erection. This happened to this anonymous guy. I'm currently performing in a stand-up show entirely about penises. I've set up a questionnaire and everything. It's taking over my life. Consequently, whenever I'm about to have sex, I can't stop thinking about the mechanics of what's going on, and I can't get it up. Ah, what a sad case. So thinking about it too much can cause you to lose your erection, girls, which possibly explains why some men seem to shut themselves off emotionally in sexual scenarios. We can't think about it, or it might go. And the terrifying thing for men is we have no actual control over our erections. It's a completely psychosomatic response dependent on all sorts of conditions coming together. We've got no guarantee it's going to appear. Something I can prove to you right now, no control at all. I want all the men in the audience right now to just get an erection, okay? No touching yourself, no looking down the top of the person next to you. Just an erection through an act of will. Come on, go for it. I want to see you trying, fellas. Don't look at her. She can't do it. Go on, can I see you trying? It's audience participation. Getting a bit hot for you in here, is it? I'm trying. You're like, come on. All right, look, it's a cold start. I'll give you a bit of visual stimulation to help you out. All the hacks, no good for you? You're about 16, you must have one all the time. Come on out. All right, I'll give £500 to anyone who can get an erection right now and come and show us on stage. If anyone has managed to do it, it's only because being ordered to get an erection by a small Somerset man is the kind of thing that really turns you on. It's worth £500 for everyone to know that. The actual scientific fact about this is that an erection is designed to fail. In nature, because if we get nervous or afraid, because it allows us to flee in the event of unexpected danger, you know, if we're in the wild. Because running with an erection, it's a bit like taking part in a three-legged race. Eh? Well, it is for me, darling. Eh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Yeah. I'm saying I've got a 28-inch penis. No, I've got surprisingly short legs, haven't I? But, you know what they say? Short legs. 28-inch penis. That's what they say. The fact that anxiety is what causes us to say hello to Mr. Floppy, that's a problem for a lot of men these days. We're increasingly secretly anxious about our sexual performance. We're aware that women's sexual expectations are rising all the time. It puts the fear of God into us, which can't be a good thing. I ask men, do you feel under pressure to perform sexually? 43% of men said they feel under pressure to perform, one in two men, which is incredible. So if anxiety causes us to lose our erection. It's making us anxious, which means we're losing our erection, which is making us anxious. It's terrible. It's like a crotch 22 situation. You see, girls, a man failing to get an erection is very unlikely to be anything to do with you, but it is something you can help us through in most cases by being understanding, by being sensitive, mainly, to be honest, by not doing this. Understand. But I think it's interesting. 43% of men feel under pressure to perform. One in three men have faked an orgasm. One in three men can't even urinate in the company of other men. We're getting an interesting picture here of the secret vulnerability of men. None of us know really what our place is anymore in this changing modern world, because machinery means that our brute strength isn't really required anymore for industry. We don't have that. Computers, technology mean we're not even necessarily as cannon fodder in wars. We haven't got that anymore. Science is reaching a point where men aren't even necessary for reproduction. Are we approaching a future where men exist only as sperm donors, where women will keep us chained up and milk us like aphids? Like most men, I bloody well hope so. If all you girls are going out to set that up, that's great. I'll be out in a sec. Come on, scientists, pull your finger out. We want that brave new world that has such dungeons in it. But for the moment, until that beautiful utopia arrives, men don't know who we are anymore. Which is why I think we have to start celebrating the good things men can do, rather than concentrating so much on the bad things. Why we should be celebrating the men who venerated the penis throughout the years. Men such as this guy, Sigurdur Hjartarson. He's actually a real guy. He's from Iceland. He's such a fan of the penis, he has set up the Icelandic Phallological Museum. There's no really need to call it the Icelandic one. There isn't one of these anywhere else in the world. Phallological isn't actually a word. He just made that up. But it is a museum, so one out of three. That's not bad, is it? What he does, Sigurdur, is he collects the severed penises of Icelandic mammals. Then he preserves them in formaldehyde. There's a few walruses, I think they're horses. They're beautiful. Or he dries them out, hangs them on the wall like a perverted moose head. That's a narwhal's penis there. Then he charges people to come and look at them. And the amazing thing is that they pay. In fact, I flew out to Iceland, this is God's truth, just to meet this man. This is a transcript of part of the conversation we had. This is genuinely true. I said to him, "But how on earth did this collection begin?" "Well, it's a long story, you know. You may have noticed the bull's penis on the wall on the other side. This was my first item. When I was a kid, if a bull was slaughtered on a farm, the penis was never thrown away. It was hung up and dried and then used as a whip." "It's like a whip." "Oh yeah, a whip, yeah. They used it to drive cattle," which is a nice irony, I think. "Then I was a headmaster in a small town, and some of the teachers worked in a whaling station in vacations. And knowing of my interest, that's your interest in the severed penises of animals." Yeah, that's right. "You didn't listen to what I'm saying? They would bring me the penises from the whales. This one's a sperm whale. Oh, it's a big one, no, eh? Whoa, that'll bring tears to your eyes, you know what I'm saying?" "I'm joking, of course." "Then the idea developed that it might be interesting in collecting this organ from the most possible species of Icelandic mammals." "Just Icelandic mammals, though?" "Oh, yeah, yeah. To try and collect the penises of all the animals in the world would be impossible. Only a lunatic would attempt it." "I do these carvings and souvenirs. You try to put some humour into it. Yeah, I've got some skipping ropes with penis-shaped handles for ladies. Yeah. Or barbecue skewers for ladies or men. You must have some hobby, you know. People might think I'm not completely normal, but someone has to do this. Not everyone could be collecting coins and stamps. I met an Englishman once. He collected just the bones. You know, some species have bones in the penis. He collected the bones, but only the bones." "Only bones." "I do not know why someone did not do this a long time ago. To some people, it's like a taboo. I like playing on the edge, on the fringes of being taken seriously as a collector, which really I am. Making fun of people or something like that. Some people think I'm crazy or perfect or something." "I like that." "But really, I'm very, very conventional." "Yeah, I mean, it's not like you've got a human penis in your collection." "No. No. No. But I would like one." This is Paul Harrison. He's 87. He's promised me his penis when he dies. He's a famous womanizer, Hayden Iceland. One of the most famous in the century. He says he's bedded 300. He's a boaster, a bragger. He's very far from being modest. He's ultra-right-wing in politics. He boasts of being a Nazi. He's a very funny guy. These two signatures are the doctors who will bring me the penis in the fullness of time. We have all agreed that the penis must be taken warm. Because if you take it warm, it can be bled out, then injected, and raised again. Because it's very, very important for Mr. Harrison to be kept with some dignity. And if he cools down, the blood clots into waves, it'd be like this. You can do that. The minute he is dead, the doctors will rip off his penis and bring it to me, and I will take it and build a beautiful case around it. It will be my prize exhibit. Now, that bloke's a headmaster. In Iceland, they let men like that teach their kids, which possibly explains Bjork, I don't know. But it is actually a fascinating museum. If you get a chance, do what I did. Fly to Iceland, get a taxi to the penis museum, and then when you finish, get a taxi back to the airport, fly immediately home again. Seeing any of the other wonders of Iceland, the geysers or anything like that, and make sure you explain to both your customs exactly what you're doing. Look at his astonished Icelandic face, it's worth it. But we've seen there, the penis is a very vulnerable body part, which is why you should never put it in a car exhaust pipe. I do have to give that warning out. Some youngsters, the car can pull off at the last minute. All sorts of trouble. But I asked men, have you ever had any penile injuries? And about 20% of men, again, admit to having had some of those. All sorts of terrible calamities have befallen men. Not that one, of course, because, of course, there is no penis. There is no bone in the human penis. That's a kind of joke. No, some have been bitten by inexpert cocksuckers. Some have been ripped on a handful of rings. Many, of course, been caught up in zip fasteners, or what I prefer to call the penis flytrap. Quite a few have been hurt in bicycle mishaps. Be careful out there, cyclists. And one had some Imac put on it to get rid of the hair around the balls and knob, which was left on too long, resulting in horrendous burns. Yeah, hilarious. By far the most common injury, something that's happened to probably about 50% of those men who've been injured, is something I didn't know about before, something called frenulum breathe, what you might know as snapping the banjo string. It's the little bit of skin at the top of the penis that connects to the glands to the shaft. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? A little bit at the top, you know. Have you still got it? It's broken. Okay, I don't know what I'm telling you. Sorry, I'm talking to a 15-year-old boy about his penis. I'm really going to get into trouble. Okay, this is one. It's apparently it's one of the most sensitive parts of the body, which is good if you're going to use it for oral sex, but if it breaks, it's very painful. This is one man's terrible story of that occurrence. I'd acquired a new girlfriend of high libido and was round at her place having sex for the third or fourth time that night. I've actually noticed a lot of blokes tend to put in unnecessary bragging details into these stories. That's not strictly relevant. When I became aware of a remote snapping sensation followed by spreading wetness, she was rather horrified about the amount of blood coming out of her and began to accuse me of damaging her internally. The look of relief that she saw the blood still pulsing out of my little general did not bode well for the relationship. A similar story ends with a man with a plume of blood shooting out his still erect penis, his girlfriend commenting, "Christ, get into the bathroom, you arsehole! You're ruining my sheets!" I see women are so sympathetic, isn't it, in this situation? I see we're laughing. Why is it funny? A man having his penis injured. Man having his penis chopped off. It's amusing. It wouldn't be funny. A torn vagina wouldn't make us laugh. So why is it funny when it happens to a man? What do you think, girls? Think because men are arrogant? Do you think men deserve it? Yeah, they deserve it because they're arrogant. They're all macho and arrogant. They deserve to have their penises injured and carved, don't they? Because of their arrogance. Oh, yeah. You have to ask yourself, why are men arrogant and macho? If you were made to feel that having an unusual or unerect or small penis made you unmanly, maybe you'd attempt to overcompensate in those masculinity states. I asked men, has the size or shape of your penis ever caused you embarrassment? 26% of men said that it has. 26% is high. I asked women, have you ever openly laughed when they're puzzled? And 26% of women said, that's 100%, isn't it? obviously the size of the flesh canoe that causes the most hilarity or concern, depending on which end of it you're at. In my survey, erect penis size ranged from 3.3 inches to 14 inches, with an average of just under 7 inches, which, don't worry, that is actually about an inch longer than any other survey I've ever seen on this subject, that average, which could mean one of two things. Either big cocked blokes really like filling in questionnaires. We might have learned that tonight. Or more likely, I think, when the blokes came to measure their penises, they really dug the ruler in as far as it would go, breaking skin, coming out the other side. They have told you it was 7 inches justice. Get me to a hospital. They feel necessary to lie in an anonymous questionnaire. It's insane. Or maybe they believe they're bigger than they really are. I don't know. But the effects of having what you yourself consider to be a small penis can actually be devastating. I asked men, how does the size of your penis to make you feel? These are some of the answers from guys who think they've got small penises. I wish that it was bigger. Embarrassed. Pitiful, suicidal, depressed, alone, unlucky. Totally fucking inadequate. I know my wife is a liar about the level of satisfaction with me. Awkward. Is it big enough to do the job? Afraid to go with a girl because I'm afraid it's small. At school, I was always embarrassed in typical changing room situations. Compared to the other boys, I felt almost like a woman or some hermaphrodite, not like a man anyway. At the time, I just felt ashamed, though late in the day, I'd get angry about it. Sometimes, I feel a bit like I have a serious problem, but I've been with my partner for nearly 2 years now, and whenever it's mentioned, she just says I'm a twat. To be honest, most men should listen to that woman. She's talking a lot of sense. I'm interested, I went back to look at the sizes of those guys' penises, and actually look, 6 inches is actually above the real average, so they've got nothing to worry about. 4 inches is quite small, but it's not worth killing yourself over it. It's definitely usable. The bloke who said, is it big enough to do the job, has a 7.5-inch penis. Yeah, I think it is big enough to do the job, mate. What job were you planning on doing? Digging irrigation ditches? No, the bloke whose girlfriend says he's a twat has a 7-inch penis. You are a twat, mate. So why is this so important to men, this issue, that we worry about that when we're average size, we still worry about it? Does it really help sexual performance? I asked women, is size important in lovemaking? 64% of women, nearly two-thirds, said that it was, which is quite high. For gay men, same question, it's 62%. So obviously it's quite important to a big percentage of people. One woman said, if it's too small, it's like whisking a toothpick around in a box. You're the one who called it a bucket, darling. That's not our problem. No one's got a cock as big as a bucket, I'm afraid. 100 toothpicks sellotaped together wouldn't even touch the size. I asked women, is it an important enough issue to end the relationship over? And 22% of women said that it was. 22%. Showing, I think, that women can be just as shallow as men. Well, maybe not. Maybe if they were shallow. Here are some of the specific answers to that question. Is it important enough to end a relationship? No. Love, friendship and compatibility are much more important. There are always more interesting ways of getting the same effect. I think that's true. Yes, although I suppose a man could make up for it by being loving, dexterous, imaginative, adventurous and incredibly sexy. I haven't met one yet. Maybe, if you want your pussy stuffed by a man, that's it, go for broke. But you can have your man's little dick up your ass, a vibrator in your cunt, and him sucking on your nipple. Better? Yes. What a fantastic woman she is. It's at times like this I begin to wish this hadn't been an anonymous questionnaire. It is possible, mate, think about the mechanics. Let's say, it seems like a bad statistic, doesn't it? 1 in 4 women would finish with you over the size of your penis. But I think, to be honest, we've all got physical expectations of a potential partner, something physically we have to have in them for us to go out with them. I think, you know, alternatively, 1 in 4 women probably wouldn't go out with me because I'm only 5'7" tall. 1 in 4 women might not go out with a fat bloke. 1 in 4 women, I might immediately discount someone who's bald. 1 in 4 women, I don't know, might not like blokes who've got hairy backs. Which means if you're a short, fat, bald bloke with a hairy back and a small penis, 5 out of 4 women... Statistics don't lie, fellas. No, we've all got physical imperfections. There's something about our bodies all of us would like to change if we could. Most things are more obvious. We have to learn to get to live with them. We get used to living with those things. You learn to love it, you know. And I mean, women are particularly guilty of this sort of sensitivity, you know. Women are constantly worrying that their tits are too small or their bum's too big. I don't know why you bother, girls. We've already established that men will have sex with a toilet roll full of jelly. Don't worry about it too much if I were you. Provided it's been spooned in. We have some standards. No, I think the way to look at this statistic is that 3 out of 4 women wouldn't finish with you over the size of your penis. That's a bit more palatable, isn't it? They can still love you. Of course they can. Just as fellas, you can still love a small-titted, big-ass woman with a bucket fanny. These things aren't that important, are they? When you're in love, it's love. The actual scientific facts of the matter is the average penis is 6 inches long. The average vagina is also 6 inches long. It's a match. Most women don't actually enjoy being slammed hard in the cervix. Although psychologically some women might like the idea of being filled, the fact is, girls, you don't have nerve endings more than 3 inches inside your vaginas because it would make childbirth too painful. Rather than the walk in the park, it is at the moment. So you see, fellas, if you've got more than 3 inches, it's a waste. There might be something, girth might be important to some people, you know, it's a pattern of personal taste, but it's, you can get around it, you can, and there are ways around it. You can be a more skillful lover. Let's face it, lesbians, they have a much smaller penis than any man in this room, and they still claim to have the best sex life at all. So there are definitely ways around this. But I think men would still argue that they want to have a big one. So why is that? There is an argument that men have evolved bigger penises than other primates, not to attract women, but to intimidate other men. And reading a lot of the stuff on the website, I have to say that's really fucking working. 14 inches. The only people who suffer from penis envy are actually men. But guys who've got what they think are small or average-sized penises and might dream of being bigger might be surprised to find out it isn't always such a blessing. I've had a lot of emails and answers back about the downside of having a big penis. In fact, probably about half women who said they'd finished with someone over the size of their penis were talking about guys with penises who are too big because it hurts them. It can be painful. And I got this quite sad email again from a woman. I've never had sex with my partner of 12 years. His penis is too big to penetrate me. Even an inch of penetration is agony for me. After the first couple of years, we just gave up trying. We concentrated on other methods of fulfillment, but then even foreplay got too much for me. What was the point if we couldn't take it any further? I went on a binge of one-night stands, trying to prove to myself that I wasn't a freak, but I could fuck like anyone else. I'll regret that for the rest of my life. Last year, I went to see my GP. Apparently, I've got a perfectly normal vagina. A little bit dainty, perhaps, but nothing untoward. She asked me, "Does your boyfriend have a big willy?" Not a question I'd expect to be asked by a small, middle-aged Indian lady. She offered me surgery. Apparently, my vagina can be cut and widened to accommodate. Other doctors have told me that procedure never works, that women have waited years for reversal operations. What price the chance to have sex with my partner? Yeah, it seems to be an issue that almost defines masculinity, doesn't it? But only because we let it. And we all do it, don't we? Throughout this show, I've been making jokes about the size of my penis, either to aggrandise or demean myself. The truth is, the actual fact, I actually have a fairly average-sized penis. Does it matter? It's not much, but it would fill a pram. It's a flap of skin. You know, having one at all, that makes me a man. The size of it thereafter doesn't actually affect the issue. I think most of us know that these jokes and comments are just jokes, but men are still suffering in silence over something that really doesn't fucking matter. Being a man isn't about the size of your organ. If you have to have a big organ, then a big heart and a big brain are really going to get you a lot further. To be honest, even a big bladder is a more useful game. manly. You can drink 6 pints of lager before you see on the toilet. The stereotype of men is that we'll shag anything with a pulse. We've already proven that's not true. A folding metal chair has no pulse. Not unless you connect some electrodes to it. So is that fair? Are men shag rats? Are they really all just obsessed with sex? I ask men, have you ever had three in a bed or group sex? 34% of men admit that they have. Never happened for me, that particular one. I did try and persuade my last girlfriend to give that a go. I said, you know, spice things up a bit. I said, you know, why don't you bring your best friend to bed with her? Three in a bed, yeah. Menage a trois, them lezzing up. She said to me, you've got enough problems satisfying one woman at a time. What makes you think you can cope with two? Thought she got me, that's what was clever. She was wrong. I said, well, that is the beauty of the system. When I'm done, you two can finish each other off for me whilst I sleep. A woman knows what a woman wants and has the patience to see it through to its tedious conclusion. She finished with me shortly after that. So now I'm reduced to having one in a bed set. Menage a trois. That's alright, it's worked out great for us all, because the thing about me is I really like to have sex with someone I pity, so that's the only way I can get off, that and the hats. So is it fair, do men think with their dicks? What do you think, girls? Think men think with their dicks? Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. 78% of women agree with you on that one. One woman said, hormones rule the poor dears. Because of course hormones have no effect on women at all. I think if we're honest though, fellas, we know we've got desires. They can be strong desires, they can be difficult to control, but we can control them if we want to. I ask men, who's the captain of your ship, you or your penis? And 72% of men said that they were. Now, admittedly, some sailors may have been confused by this analogy. But even accounting for that, I think most of us know the chain of command. Some of us might be happy to think otherwise because it absolves us from responsibility. But if you want to sleep around and the people you want to sleep around with want you to, that's fair, don't worry about it. The idea that all men are promiscuous, out-of-control sex addicts, I just don't think that's fair on the vast majority of men I know. Just because men don't like the film Sliding Doors doesn't mean we don't have emotions. It means we have good taste. But keep that up. I asked how many sexual partners have you had in your lifetime? These are the figures for heterosexual men. Look, 67% of straight men have had 10 or less sexual partners in a lifetime, which is hardly promiscuous. Amazing, 23% have had one or less sexual partner in their lifetime. That's not promiscuous. Only 5% of men have had 50 or more partners, which I'd say was promiscuous. So why are all men judged by that 5%? Why aren't all women judged as being insensitive? 26% of you have laughed openly at man's genitals. Why are we judged by this minority? To be honest, the idea that heterosexual men are more promiscuous than heterosexual women doesn't make any kind of sense. Heterosexual men and heterosexual women must, by definition, be having exactly the same amount of sex on average. There's always one of each of us at every encounter. Either we're having the same amount of sex on average, or there's one super slag woman somewhere. Probably in Hull, to be honest. Explain the fish trail, wouldn't it? No, don't you say that about one of the women in our town. All the rest are lovely. She serves in the entire. That isn't true, I'm saying it's, I've been. It's hyperbole I was employing there. Yeah, look at that. to be honest, women control sexual access in all normal situations. Men are only as promiscuous as women allow us to be. Maybe they would like to be more promiscuous, something I think we can find out by looking at the same figures for the same question for gay men. Now, I think it's fair to say gay men is a generalisation. If they want to, they can pretty much have as much sex as they want, making them, in a sense, men in their default setting. giving us some idea of how much sex men would have if women weren't involved. Let's have a look at the figures. Here we go. And yeah, look, 23% of gay men have had more than 50 sexual partners, so maybe men would like to be more promiscuous. But I think what's interesting about this is that 55% of gay men have had 10 or less sexual partners. Amazing, 34% of gay men have had one or less sexual partner in their lifetime. Now, I'm not claiming that's a scientifically accurate survey. I think as a generalisation, though, from what I know of men in my life and from this, what I'd say that says is some people of misuse. Some people are monogamous. To be honest, some of us are a mixture of both. You could have had 50 partners and then become monogamous. But men and women aren't all that different. When it comes to this, we're the same. Men aren't from Mars, women aren't from Venus. That's a pathetic, childish, patronising, stupid idea. In actual fact, men are from Britain and women are from mainland Europe. This is kind of a metaphorical thing. You can just stick with me, you're going to enjoy it, honestly. Like the British Empire, men have had to get used to the fact that our position, status in the world has completely changed in the last 100 years. Yeah. Some of us refuse to accept that. We still think we're great. Yeah. Some of us are angry that we get blamed for mistakes made by people 100 years ago. Many of us are ashamed to be British. None of us know who we are anymore. Apart from gay men, that's because gay men are from Ireland. It's a metaphor. I'm not saying all Irish men are gay. Yeah. Graham Norton is. Yeah. And Brian from Big Brother. Yeah. Oh, and the bloke from Boys. Maybe they are. Maybe they work some way. After years of oppression, the Irish have won back most of their freedom. They're respected around the world for their vibrant culture. Those blokes love the crack, that's for sure. The rest of us, British, we see the Europeans, that's women, remember, as the enemy. Let's face it, most of us have had a couple of pretty destructive relationships with Germans. Catch my drift. Usually, actually, between the ages of 14 and 18 and 39 and 45. what you have to remember is that all Europeans, women, are Germans. Some of them are. This show's been translated into German, actually. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they translate that. The rest of us, though, we see the Europeans as the Europeans have worked together for the last 30 years to form a union based on equality. But we, the British, were reluctant to get involved in that. So why is that? What do you think? Because secretly in our hearts, we still think we're superior, don't we? Despite all the evidence to the fucking contrary. We need to forget about the past, not blame ourselves for mistakes made by people 100 years ago. We can redefine what it means to be British in a new world based upon equality. I don't think we need a men's movement for this any more than we'd want a British movement. We need to do this together, men, women, Britons and Europeans. We don't have to give up all the things that make us British. No one's saying we actually have to become European, as that would involve surgery. Don't think it'd be better if we had a common currency? You know, I think most men feel that women hate us and our cocks for the bad things we can undoubtedly do. But that's not the message I've been getting from my questionnaire. I asked women, is the penis a friend or an enemy to you? And 95% of women said that it was a friend. 95%, guys, they don't hate us at all. These are some of the reasons it's a friend. It responds well to love. If you love it, it loves you back. It's given me 3 wonderful children, and it feels so damn good during sex. It's ridiculous. How can anything ridiculous be an enemy? Yummy, a delicious lollipop. I think penises are kind of cute. Like those troll dolls people use. You know, when I started writing the show, I thought what I was going to conclude is that women's increasing sexual expectations are a problem these days for men's self-esteem. You know, maybe that's right. But the vast majority of responses I've had from men and women show me that women knowing what they want from sex is a fantastic turn of events for us all. Would you rather live in the world of your grandparents where women lay back and dreamt of a united Europe? Or in a world with a woman who said this? Because I don't even have to think about it, to be honest. I think, fellas, we've got a long way to go before we reach this equality, before we can redefine who we are. But let's try and rise to the occasion, right? And girls try and be understanding and sensitive if sometimes we don't quite manage that. I think the first step on this road to equality is for us all to allow the penises in our lives to be praised. Are you with me on this tonight, Harp?
Yeah.
Come on, you can do better than that. Are you with me tonight, Harp?
Yeah.
Are you with me, fellas? Come on.
Yeah.
Are you with me, girls?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Come on, the sound he makes the biggest noise gets a prize at the end of the tour. It's going to be a big cock, statue of a cock, that I'm going to erect in the town centre, whether the council want it or not. So make a loud noise. I want you to shout. It's important to do this for our self-esteem and men's self-esteem. Let's go for it. Men, I want you to all shout out. We love our cocks. Go!
We love our cocks!
cocks!
Fantastic! Girls, show us your care, you can beat that. Shout out, we love your cocks, go!
We love your cocks!
I love that bit of the show, isn't it? Got that on tape. Just edit the S off. Actually, while you're all in one room, girls, does anyone object if I use that later in a masturbatory fantasy? Tell me now, and I'll take you out. Gay men, bisexual men, any men who accept that there's a part of them that's gay, come on. Hull, let's be big about this. I want you to shout out, we love our cocks and your cocks. The show's over if no one shouts. Someone's got to shout out for the show to continue, so someone's going to be big enough to do that. The irony, if you're heterosexual, the irony is if you do it on your own, what happens is you get a big round of applause, and generally what happens is one of the girls will have sex with you. I might want to consider that, but the show's over unless someone shouts it out. Keep it up. The ends justify the means. Lesbians, I haven't forgotten about you. Let's face it, if nothing else, this show clearly demonstrates you're constantly on my fucking mind. I want to shout out, although we have no real feelings in your ridiculous penises, we do at least grudgingly respect the penis's part in giving us life. And the fact that it's the template for Nildo. lazy lesbians. I want you to go home tonight on your own, or with a friend, or for 34% of you with two or more friends. Celebrate the penises in your lives. Let them be praised. Look after them. Protect them. Talk about them. Try not to think about the mechanics of how they work as you're actually using them. For Christ's sake, keep them clean. But enjoy them. But don't let it go to their heads. You aren't your penis, guys. Your penis isn't you. Your penis works for you and whoever or whatever you choose to share it with. He's your bitch. Oh, yeah. No, the penis, it's not a battering ram. It's a drawbridge. It brings us together. But it can be a battering ram if you want it to be, darling. Great, if you've enjoyed the free programme I gave out tonight, I'm collecting some buckets after the show for a testicular cancer charity. You're under no obligation, but if you'd like to chuck a quid or two in there, that would be very much appreciated. I'll also be out in the bar signing those programmes if anyone wants that service. But you've been a great audience, people. I'd love to come back to Hull again. Thanks very much. Now my penis be praised. He lives happiness. You've been a great audience. Good night.